Hey. I would like to say tonight there's going to be three great dances. I see another dancer standing up in the back right there, Coach Becky Schmidt. Three great dances performed in Dance Marathon. We would love for you to show up. It's a little bit of a dream come true, so thanks for sharing that with me in my dream. And I got to say, and you do have to bring money, because the only way one of us will win is if we raise some money. So I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I'm just saying, look at the shoes. Thanks, Ross. The shoes will do the talking tonight at the Dow, 8:50. And I would like to say I was a little bit nervous because I thought, I know I'm going to wear my dancing shoes, which aren't really my dancing shoes. I'm borrowing them from a student. But today is really not about Kate's dance. But I was so excited that Ross showed up with his preaching shoes on. I don't know if you can see those. So really, the Lord provides. It worked out great.
I didn't want to be showing up by her shoes. I knew she was going to wear these, so.
Ross is always one step ahead of us. I am thrilled, and it is a joy for us. You know, this spring that we get to hear from some of our seniors, and this morning we get to hear from William Ross Henneveld Jr., who is going to be sharing a word with us. So I'm going to say a word of blessing and prayer, and then we will hear from God. God, we are grateful for Fridays, and we are grateful for celebration and communities where we can do that together. But more than that, God, we are grateful that you are a God who speaks, that you have spoken a word to Ross, and now he is going to share it with us. So open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say to us today. And we pray this all through Christ, and all of hope said, amen. Will you welcome Ross?
Good morning, Hope College. Before I start, I want to give you a sense of the mood up here right now. And in order to do so, I brought some friends along with me, Rod and Dave, to help me out. So that's kind of how I feel right now. At this point, I'm not quite sure who's more nervous, though, me or my fellow senior witnesses, the ones that still have to go. But as I start to think about it, I realize it's kind of silly that I'm nervous. And especially being nervous for proclaiming God's word to others. It reminds me of two summers ago when my girlfriend and I were getting ready for a new school year. And one of the things that we were striving to do was to memorize more scripture. We wanted to have a theme for our school year as well, and God led us to a passage in Ephesians. So if you could open up your Bibles with me, and we'll read from Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. In the Pew Bibles, that's page 952. I'll be reading from the NIV, which is a little bit different, but it still gives the same message. It says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now listen to this last part very carefully, because this is the part that gets me every time. It says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." Fearless. I'm not talking about Taylor Swift here. I'm talking about proclaiming the gospel, the word of God, boldly, without shame. What if we fearlessly declared God's word? And not just with our lips, but with our whole being. It's been said that the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today are Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. I used this quote by Brendan Manning in a speech that I gave in high school after I was asked to represent Christianity at our baccalaureate service. Much like this opportunity, it was a daunting task, considering I know all too well how Christianity can only truly be represented by God's Son, Jesus Christ. Nonetheless, I obliged and thus felt it fitting that the main theme of this address be how I had poorly represented God in my time at Forest Hill Central. I really felt convicted that I had done a poor job of being Jesus' hands and feet. But with this feeling, I came to Hope College, thinking that I was going to get a fresh start and being able to shake off the mistakes of my high school ignorance. I'm here to tell you that as I look back on the last 3.5 years of my life here at Hope, I realize that I'm still a very similar person to what I had vowed to change. Granted, I have grown a lot and matured in my faith, but there's still this unwillingness in my inner being to let go of control. I searched out the root of the similarity between what I had vowed to change and what still remains in me, and I realized that my focus has been 180 degrees off. It was all about me. It was all about my ministry and what I was doing for God. I had turned all my efforts of serving him into avenues of self-glorification. I've acquired a good skill of making it look like I have things together and knowing what I really don't know. And when it comes down to it, I'm more broken than most of you. A couple of buddies and I started an accountability group freshman year to help this brokenness that sin causes. I can't tell you how blessed I am to have this group of guys in my life and don't know where I'd be without them. With that said, though, I want to first discount this idea of accountability as being a fun process. I've never heard a soldier come back from war and describe his experience as fun. Following Christ all day, every day, is a spiritual battle. And if you don't have somebody by your side to help you out, it's going to be that much harder to withstand the pressures of sin. Our accountability group was born out of a conversation between Jack Droppers and myself. We had both experienced some form of accountability in high school, and we felt like we wanted to do something similar at Hope as well. I also had an additional motivation for this accountability, as I had struggled with pornography in high school, and coming to college certainly didn't alleviate any of those temptations. I felt like David at that moment, picking up the sword of King Saul before going into battle with Goliath, but not even be able to handle such a weapon. My faith, though, was more like a sling and some stones. I needed God's help, and that is how he used my brothers in Christ to strengthen me to face the giants that taunt me every single day. Proverbs 27:17 is a very popular verse, but to me it holds a very significant meaning. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Now, the first time we met at Applebee's, and over half off apps, we determined the things that we wanted to be held accountable for. The guys and I now meet once a week and talk about the past week's struggles and praises and also the prayer requests for the upcoming week. We started out with a lot of structure, using the outline we had generated at Applebee's that first night, but as we determined that it wasn't working quite as effectively as we had hoped, we loosened up the structure to instigate more organic conversation about our struggles. More often than not, someone has to come to the our meeting with a significant confession of a shortcoming, which honestly, in the moment, makes things really uncomfortable. It's countercultural to be so vulnerable with other people, especially between men. And we don't get it right every time. In fact, we've been constantly changing the way in which we go about this. In fact, last week, we had a long conversation about how ineffective we've been at holding each other accountable for the things that we don't specifically ask for. See, accountability isn't just a once-a-week thing. It has to be a lifestyle. It has to be constant in order for it to be effective. People have asked us how we've kept this going for 3 years, and honestly, the answer lies in the commitment that each one of these guys has made. We don't allow disagreements about how things are run or how things are organized or any other inconsequential matters to get in the way of the ultimate goal of honoring God with our lives. Unfortunately, though, there's no recipe for success when it comes to this kind of thing. Different people can do it different ways, and different things work for those different people. But the key is to do it and to not give up. Understand that it probably won't work exactly right the first time or two, or in our case, for the first 3 years. Now, I'm not perfect, and none of my brothers are either, but that is what makes it work. We're all broken, and we're all sinners. We all need that help from God and from each other to give us a fighting chance against the devil's schemes. That is why I'm so thankful to have these people in my life to correct me and to help me up when I've fallen down. Proverbs 15:32 says, "Anyone who ignores discipline despises themselves, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding." One bit of that understanding that I've gained is that our accountability group is motivated by God's grace and mercy. We know that we are washed clean of our sins because we believe in the one true God. He has forgiven us of all our iniquities, and thus we know that we need to hold ourselves to a standard that honors this gift of grace. With that said, I can honestly say that the most finding accountability here at Hope College has been the single most influential event and experience that I have had here at Hope College and that I will take from this place. In closing, I want to challenge you with two things. First, regarding accountability. Find one or two people that can hold you accountable to living a life that reflects Christ every single day and in every aspect. Find someone who will ask you the hard questions, the ones that make it uncomfortable to be around that person for a little bit. If this becomes a comfortable process, like I said, you know that you're doing it wrong. So remember, we all struggle with sin, and having somebody next to you, having a wingman or woman, is going to make it that much easier to prevail over sin. If you'd like to know anything more about what has and hasn't worked for us in our accountability group, I would love to have a chat with you or even just answer an email. The second and final challenge is this. Before you continue on with your day, before you even leave this chapel, ask yourself how you are serving God. Ask God to reveal to you the things and the places in your life that you're struggling to give up control in. Ask God to show you what living fearlessly for Him really means. With that, let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for everyone here. Lord, it's a blessing to have this many people in one place all praising your name. Lord, I pray that you can convict us now of the things in our lives that we are not giving up control to you. Lord, you are the maker of everything and you have everything in your hands. Lord, let us submit our lives to you this day. I just pray that we will continue to finish out this week strong and live fearlessly for you. In your name we pray, amen.